Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Let's maintain an attitude of worship and praise to the Lord. And, you know, I'll tell you what, the most important thing that can happen in the life of a believer is our salvation. Amen. That's the most important miracle that God can ever do in our lives, the miracle of salvation. I don't know how it happens, but I just know it happened to me. Amen. I know when it happened to me, and I know the change. It was a change from the inside out, and it radiated on the outside. But I'll tell you what, Jesus is the reason. You know, I don't care what you're going through, Jesus is the answer. Whatever the question is, Jesus is the answer. Amen. Jesus is the answer. He came, he died, and he rose, and he came back that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. And in fact, he told his disciples, he said, look, it's expedient that I go away, because if I don't go away, the comforter won't come. So he said, I must go away. And I thank God for the comforter has come. Jesus is the reason. No matter what we stand in need of this morning, Jesus is the answer. Amen. So if anybody has sickness in their body, anybody that's not here, anybody that's here, I just want you to maintain an attitude of worship and praise and say, Jesus, I receive you now as my healer, my sanctifier. Everything that I need is in you, Lord. And Father God, I thank you that by your stripes I'm healed. From the top of my head to the sole of my feet, I'm healed. Every organ, every tissue of my body must come in tune with and be in line with the word of God. And Jesus, you are the healer. You are a sanctifier. You are a baptizer in the Holy Spirit. And Father, I thank you, Father, for Jesus is whatever we need. He is. He said he's the great I am. And whatever we need, he am. So we just thank you for that, Father. We thank you for that right now. And give you the honor. We give you the glory. We give you the praise. Because Jesus, you're whatever we need, whatever we stand in need of, you are the answer. And you know what? I don't care what men can do, what women can do, what accolades they can get. But guess what? The denominator is this. You got to know Jesus. Amen. You can't join up or sign up or be elected in, but you have to be born again. Amen. You have to be born again into the kingdom of God. And I thank God that Jesus died that we might have eternal life and have it more abundantly. So, Father, I just thank you for what Jesus did for each and every one of us. And we give you honor, glory, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, now we're going to go ahead and get in right with the Word of God. Let me get it right with the Word of God. Now, there's a subject that we're going to be talking about today, and it's a subject that I really don't want to talk about, but it's something that I have to talk about. Now, there was a guy, he was a missionary in one of the poorest countries in the nation. In fact, he went to a tribe that was so remote that they didn't have anything. And he basically had to teach them, have a translator come in and teach them the English so they could understand. So a translator came in and he helped them understand the language and everything. And after years and years and years, he didn't have a lot of converts, and finally he got one convert, and then he got another convert. And after years and years of intense labor and communing with the people and getting to know them and getting them saved one by one, he started preaching them the whole counsel of God. He said, God, I'm going to do what you call me to. You call me to be a missionary to these people, and I'm going to give them the whole counsel of God. And he was one that they studying for his message and everything, and the Holy Spirit said, you haven't taught the whole counsel. He said, what do you mean, Lord? I taught them everything. I taught them about Jesus. I taught them that Jesus came to give them life and to save them, that he came to seek and save that which was lost. And they accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and they're born into the kingdom. But God, I don't understand. I've taught them everything. He said, no, you haven't taught them everything. He said, they're in poverty, and there's lack. And you haven't taught them about giving to me. He said, but God, they don't have anything to give. He said, you've got to teach them the whole counsel of God. So that next Sunday, he got up and he preached his message, and it was on giving, scriptural reason for giving. And so at the end of the message, he made an appeal for an offering. And so the people start giving what they had. Some people gave a seed, you know, that they can grow into a plant or a crop or whatever. Some people gave a spoon that they had, you know, a wooden spoon that they had made with their own hands, and they gave it into the offering. And anyway, and when he looked and saw what the people had done and gave an offering, he literally wept. He said, they don't have a lot to give, but they gave out of their, of what they had. And because of that, then what happened was, I'm just going to fast forward it. What happened was, they lived in some villages, and other village people didn't have a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, so there was a drought. And guess what? God blessed them because they gave out of what they had, that where the drought didn't affect that village, and their crops grew in abundance. And they were able to give to the other neighboring villages and tribes food because God blessed their crops abundantly. So the word does work, amen? But you gotta teach the whole counsel of God. So I don't like to talk about this, but it's something God has put in my heart and said that I must teach. And you know what? Every time you get a word from the Lord, it seems like, I know a lot of times when the word is coming, I say, preach, pastor, preach, minister, you know, I need to buy a tape for this man, because I got some people that need to hear it. A lot of times we need to hear it as well, right? But I say like that, those of you that are here, y'all really don't need, y'all not baby Christians, y'all don't really need a message on giving, but I'm going to obey God and give the message that he told me to give, and it's on giving. So we're going to give a scriptural reference for giving. Now, I don't know how long you've been in the body of Christ, but I've seen some stuff happen in the body of Christ that kind of made me cringe, because it wasn't according to God's word. It's all kind of gimmicks and all kind of things out there to try to provoke people to give. But see, we're going to find out what's the scriptural basis for giving. Amen? Before we get into the message, I want to go over some wisdom nuggets. I want you to just repeat after me when I say it. There's a difference between obedience and honor. Repeat between obedience and honor. Because, you know, a lot of times you can do something, you do it because you were told to do it, but really, you don't do it in the heart where you honor the person that asked you to do it. You just do it out of, well, I gotta do this. Okay, guess what? God does not, even though you did the right thing, you may not get blessed with. God looks at the attitude. God looks at the heart. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Now also, what you respect, you will attract. What you respect, you will attract. So guess what? When you talk against prosperity, you talk a bit against sowing into the kingdom of God and expecting a harvest, guess what? When you speak against that, guess what? You're not going to attract wealth. Wealth will not attract and come to you because you don't believe in it. You got to believe in it first. And then also it says God honors those who honor others. Real honor is not just paying lip service, but actually honor them when that person's not around. So when you honor people, God will cause honor to come to you. Also, to be in authority, you must be under authority. Now, a lot of people want to join the army, and then they've been in their basic training for 8 weeks, and all of a sudden they say, well, I graduated basic training, so now, when are y'all going to promote me to general? You're a private. No, it don't work that way. You got to pay your dues, right? You got to pay your dues, and you got to be under authority before you can be in authority. We all talked about the centurion soldier, and the reason he knew and understood the authority that Jesus had, because he knew when Jesus, all that Jesus had to do is speak the word and the servant would be healed. Because he knew he was a man under authority. He was under authority under the Roman government, and he was a centurion means 100. So he at least had 100 soldiers under his rule. But he told the soldier to come. And he told another to go, and they go. And then he told his servant to do, and the servant did. So he understood what authority was. And so because he was the authority, and he had authority. Amen? Now also, one more nugget I want to get out. Is when you open doors for others, God opens doors for you. When you cause doors to open for somebody else, God causes doors to open for you. Now, you may be talented, you may be gifted, and I thank God for my daughter-in-law. She's very talented, very beautiful woman. I mean, just a godly woman. Just, I mean, she really ate it out the park. I mean, and she was rewarded for her last night, that accolades and everything, but she's a very beautiful and gifted woman, and she has a lot of talent. But you know what? She's not only talented in her own right, but she's giving, and she shares her time and energy for other people. She's a student. She's a student, and guess what? She's always learning, always learning. She's humble. She's teachable. But guess what? She's a teacher as well. She teaches kids, and she pours into their heart, into their life. And so what happened, because she's a giver, God will always honor her and cause people to give into her and to help her. So even though she's a great actress, guess what? She's mentoring other people as well and sharing her gifts and talents with other people. Now, there's scriptural reasons for giving. Sometimes I've been in churches and they'll have a prayer line for $10,000. And everybody that wants to receive a healing from the Lord, you got to come up and say that you're going to give $10,000. Well, to me, I kind of cringe a little bit when I see that, because God's not going to merchandise the anointing. Man. So what happened? What about if you didn't have $10,000 and you had a critical illness that would cause death? Then you couldn't go be a prayer department. You ain't got the $10,000. Yeah. So yeah, you ain't got the $10,000. Oh well. Well, praise God. So you see a lot of things that aren't scriptural. You know what? Even though I'm married, and I thank God for my wife, my helpmeet. You know, Bible says that he who attains a wife obtains favor with the Lord. Now, she's my helpmeet. And she does me good all the days of my life. But guess what? I thank God for Cecilia. But guess what? When I was retired from the military, I was on the road 40 weeks a year as a minimum. And I used to see guys leave on Monday morning like I did and come back 2 weeks later on Friday and come for a weekend, stay for a weekend, and then go right back. And they repeated the cycle for the whole year. Except the only time we went on the road is during the moratorium, during Thanksgiving and the Christmas. They didn't want anybody doing any new install work on telephone switches. And so that's why they let us stay home during those times, Thanksgiving and Christmas. But other than that, we were on the road. I've seen a lot of guys that were married, had rings on their fingers, doing a lot of stuff that's not scriptural. As far as marriage, about honoring our wives. Well, did that make me want to tear up my marriage life? Say, well, must not be nothing to this marriage thing. So I just give up on, no, huh? I got a license to drive. I got it from the state of Florida. I've seen people break all kind of laws on the highway. That's not going to make me tear up my license and say, well, nothing to this driving. Nobody's going to obey the rules. No. You'll seek excesses no matter what you do. But that doesn't mean that you don't stay the course. You do what's right in your heart. So I know giving is right to give. I've seen access it done in churches try to provoke people to give unscripturally. That's not going to stop me from giving because I know the heart of God. I know my blessing is based on my obedience to the Word of God. And so, like I say, we don't have any baby Christians in here. And we're going to go by some scriptural. This will basically be refresher for most of us. But we're going to go by some scriptural reasons for giving. Now, first of all, we must give according to our income or ability. Now, if Bill Gates or Donald Trump was to come to the church service, when offering time comes, I expect them to give more than, in fact, I expect Bill Gates or Donald Trump to give at least $1 million in offering. Why? Because they're making that kind of money. So, I expect them to give a generous offer, but I wouldn't expect to give $1 million to my wife because she's not making that type of money right now. But I'm not going to say that she won't make it. I'm saying right now. So you give out of your ability or out of your income. That's what you're supposed to do. Now, so first of all, let's go to the scriptures on this. So you're supposed to give out of your according to your income or ability. And we're going to go to Deuteronomy 16 and 17. Deuteronomy 16 and 17. And we're going to be moving rapidly, going over a lot of scriptures, trying to get as many scriptures as we can based on scriptural reasons for giving. Repeat after me if you don't. We're going to be talking about scriptural reasons for giving. Amen? Okay. So number one, the first point is we give according to our income or ability. Now, how many of y'all heard this? You can't get blood out of a turnip. But guess what? Turnip is not a living thing that has blood, so blood's not going to come out of a turnip. You can squeeze that turnip till there's nothing left. You're going to get whatever substance in that turnip, but you won't get blood. So you can't give what you don't have. Right? So you're not under condemnation if somebody comes out on the pulpit and say, you got to give this. And I see a lot of times in church, they say, well, if you're a leader in the church, every leader need to give $1,000. And then the leader might be involved in 10 different organizations. Guess what? Does he give $1,000 to each auxiliary? So like they put a lot of pressure on people to give. That's not scriptural. And we're going to go over that, why that's not scriptural. Okay, now, first of all, we're giving according to our ability or income. So Deuteronomy 16 and 17. Who has that? Okay, Deuteronomy 16 and 17. The Old Testament. Okay, go ahead, sister. You go, and then here. Mm-hmm. Amen. So we give our gifts according to what we're able to give, right? So guess what? I'm saying God has really blessed me. God has really blessed me. And then if God has really blessed me, I'm supposed to give up my gifts and talents that God has blessed me with. Amen. So we're blessed according to what we're able, not according to what we don't have. 16 and 17. And you can read, Carrie. You can read. Okay. Uh-huh. Oh, that's where it was? Okay. Okay, so we're gonna go to, Leviticus 19 and 30. And this is being recorded, so if you need a copy of the message, you can see, D, you know, make sure you get a copy of it. And, you can download it on your MP3 or whatever. And it says, and he shall offer the one of the turtle doves and of the young pigeons such as he can get. So they were offering, sacrifices or offerings unto God. So they had to buy whatever they could afford to offer to the Lord. Some gave turtle doves, some gave pigeons according to what he could get. And then Azariah 2 and 69 says he gave after their ability unto the treasure of the work of the Lord 80,000 drams of gold and 5,000 pounds of silver and 100 priests' garments. So they gave it based on their ability. Oh, they gave based on their ability. Now also in Acts 11 and 29, it said, Acts in 29, and then the disciples, every man, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judah. So Acts 11 and 29. Acts 11 and 29. Got a lot and I was just trying to put it up too fast. Acts 11 and 29. So Acts 11, 29, everyone have it? Okay. Hey, D, would you read that for me, please? Okay, so they gave as they were able. So they gave what they were capable of giving. They didn't go and put it on a credit card and go in debt for 5 years, you know, or get a loan, you know, From John the Lone Slot, you know, so they can give. No, they gave according to what they were able, right? But you see, sometimes believers do that. They'll put it on a credit card. They'll give in faith. But really, be honest with you, that's usury. That's usury. When you go borrow money like that, that's a non-scriptural. You don't have to get from a loan shark just so you can give to the kingdom of God. So you give it as you have the ability to give, as you're capable of giving, what God is, according to how God has blessed you. And then the last scripture we're going to give as far as giving according to your ability is 2 Corinthians 8 and 12. 2 Corinthians 8 and 12. Now, am I the only one that's been to a church service where they had a prayer line based on who was able to give for healing or whatever healing line? And those that were able to give 10,000, you come up to this. Then when they got through with the $10,000 give, then they say, okay, well, $5,000. I mean, am I the only one that's been to a service like that? You've seen them before? Okay. But like I say, that is not scriptural. That is not scriptural. Now, what it is, God's not merchandising his anointing, okay, to some preacher based on your ability to pay him $1,000 or not. But if the anointing comes without any strings attached to it. So God is going to heal you based on his grace and his mercy. He wants to heal you anyway. Okay. 2 Corinthians 8 and 12. So who has that? Okay. So basically, you can't get blood out of return. So you give according to what you have, right? Not what you don't have. So if you ever been to church service and they'd stand up and say, there's one that's kind of doing an offering service, and he'll say, I'm going to give $500 to the offering. And we need to see who can follow suit with me. Because I'm not asking you to do what I won't do. Well, guess what? He might be a GS-13 making six figures, and here you are, you're a GS-2 making $20 a year. You know what I'm saying? So how can you expect to keep up with his salary? Remember the woman, Jesus talked about the woman that had given more than those out of their abundance. The woman, what they gave her her mite into the offering. And that was her last substance that she had. She gave her mite into the offering. And Jesus says she gave more than anyone other, because a lot of the other people, they were rich and they gave a certain percentage of what they had, but she gave more. She gave almost all of her substance into the offering. So Jesus said, and that woman has been memorialized. Every time somebody reads that discourse about Jesus on giving, her name has been mentioned there, the woman that gave her mite. So it depends on what you have the ability to give. Bill Gates might give $1 billion, but guess what? To Haiti, and he has done it. He's given the Haiti relief. He's given billions of dollars. But guess what? He has billions to spare. So I expect him to give like that. You know what I'm saying? But I wouldn't expect somebody that can't even spell the word billion to give a billion, you know? But you got to be able to have it before you can give it. Okay, now, so first of all, we say the scriptural rules are a reason for giving, right? So first of all, number one, you must give according to your income or ability. Okay, then number two, you must give without ostentation. Now, ostentation, I must spell that, and I think Cecilia might be the only one that really know what that word means. Say, ostentation. Okay, and I had to look it up. But I didn't know what the word meant. Oh, okay. You know what that word means? It means without. I had to look it up in the dictionary. It means without an openly display or excessive display. In other words, conspicuous display. In other words, the preacher, he's doing the offering. He says, "Now, I'm going to give $500, and I don't expect me to do anything less than what I would ask you to do. I ask you to give $500, so I want everybody that's going to give $500 to come up here and give $500. Well, guess what? The people that come up to give $500, because just because he asked them, not because, guess what? They might have missed, the church might have missed a blessing, because I might have been in my purpose of my heart that I was going to give $1,000. But now they asked for $500, so I guess what? I get to keep $500. I'm only going to give $500. So the church got blessed, didn't get as blessed as they would have if they had let me give from my heart. But, guess what? Everybody that goes up and gives that $500, guess what? Most of them have already received their blessing from man, not from the Lord. Because everybody's seen them give a $500. And they made a big show, a big display about it. So that's what? Guess what? We might just threw your money and down the drain, or flush it down the toilet. Because, you can receive your reward from man. You receive your reward from man, not from God. Okay, so it means without an open display. Now we're going to, scripture verse we're going to read there is Matthew 6:1-4. And this is Jesus talking. Now when I go to my Bibles and read writing, that's why I know I didn't say it. Jesus said it. Now, y'all might not like what I said, but this is Jesus now. Go talk to my boss if you don't like it. I'm just the under shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. Okay, Matthew 6:1-4. When you have it, say amen. Now, Cecilia's a teacher. Here's a teacher. Learning comes as a result of you actually, the more involved you're in the learning process, the more you retain, isn't it? Matthew 6:1-4. And it's in red writing, so I know Jesus is speaking this. Okay, so who wants to read, start out reading that? Am I doing good on time? Yeah, I'm doing good on time. Okay. Praise God. So who do we want to get up and receive our reward from man or from God? Amen. Amen. So guess what? When I give, I don't let the left hand know what the right hand is doing. Now, that's impossible because your brain controls both the left and the right hand. But the thing is, you do it in such a way that you don't bring attention to yourself. Don't bring attention to yourself because you don't want your reward coming from man. You want it coming from God. So that's the scriptural way to give. So we got to give. We got to give, but not a lot of fanfare and trumpets blowing and all this kind of stuff like that. Okay. And then third, we must give freely. We must give freely. Matthew 10:8. We must give freely. First of all, we say we must give according to our ability, right? Our income. Then number two, we shouldn't give out of showmanship or something like that. We give as we purpose in our heart, and then we don't let the blow of trumpets so everybody can see that we're giving and how much we're giving. And we're supposed to do it in secret so God can reward us openly. Then we must give freely. Matthew 10:8. It says, you have Matthew 10:8? Okay. Okay, B, can you read that, please? Praise God. So what? So that's it. So in other words, the key point in that scripture was, you freely receive, so freely give. You freely receive. God freely gives us things, and so we're supposed to freely give back. One thing about it is, I'm going to give you this. It's in your hand. Okay. Now, your hand is open, right? So guess what? Because it's open, I can give you some more. But guess what? Now I've given you that, and then put a fist, close it, clasp your fist around. Now guess what? I want to give you more. But guess what? You got that, and you say, I might not get no more. I better hold on to this. So guess what? Your fists are closed around it. Guess what? I'm going to give you more, but guess what? You can't receive it because your fist is closed. And you can't receive it. Now turn your hand on this. Yeah, I'm trying to give you some more. I'm trying to give you some more. Well, guess what? You can't receive it because your fist. So what happens is when God gives us something, He wants us to be a conduit of giving. In other words, you keep an open hand. When God gives you, guess what? You give it to somebody else. So, D, I want you to go give this to Pastor Hicks. Go to Pastor Cecilia. Okay, now come back to me. You got an empty hand. Keep your hand extended. Guess what? I'm going to give you something else. See, that's how it works in the kingdom of God. God gives to you, you're a conduit of the blessing, but it doesn't have you. The gift that I give you does not have you. So this gift that you were given does not have you. Guess what? And Cecilia gives it to me, and guess what? I give it back to you. You see, that's how the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of God, that's how it works in giving. God is not against us being blessed, but He doesn't want the blessings to have us. Some folks, they can't get the money. God can't really bless me because guess what? Now they're going to buy a boat and then they got to buy a truck with it, and they ain't got time to go to church no more. But guess what? They out on the river, worshiping God out and while they fish. It's going to ruin them. It's going to ruin prosperity. It said prosperity will ruin, destroy a fool. And that's foolish. It's foolish. God isn't going to see. God done bless you. And now you bought you a boat and stuff. And you can't give to God no more. And then all of a sudden, when the offering plate comes around, you give God a tip. But you can't give him a tithe and you can't give him an offering. Because guess what? You need that money to make your boat payment. You know what I'm saying? So it's ignorant. You know, you got to dance with the one that brought you. You don't go to a dance. Carrie doesn't go to a dance with her husband, Maurice Jr., and then go dance with somebody else. That is a problem. Maurice going to have a problem with that. But now the thing is, you got to dance with the one that brought you. Now, who's the one that put that ring on your finger? Who's the one? You got to dance with the one that brought you. Amen. You got to dance with the one that brought you. So the thing is, if God brought you this far, why are you going to change partners now? You got this far with God. Now you got a little bit of something and bling bling and all this, a nice car. Now all of a sudden you ain't got time for God. No. If God gave it to you, you got to stay with God. Amen. Okay, and then the next verse, and I really want you to memorize this and be able to say this without even looking at your Bible, Luke 6:38. A lot of us can quote it right now, right? Very familiar scripture. It's always used in giving or as art and offerings. But Luke 6:38. So go to it when you have it. But I can literally quote this, but I want everybody else to actually be able to record it as well. It's a foundational scripture as far as giving, the real reason for giving. So you should give freely. You should give freely. Remember, we're talking about giving freely. God is freely given to us, so we need to freely give back to others. Luke 6:38. And I'll read it this time, okay? It says, says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over. Shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you met withal, it shall be measured to you again. And this is King James. So the thing is, God's going to cause men to give into your bosom. And not just give to your bosom, but it's going to be like this basket here. This basket here is full of fruit, right? Now guess what? You're going to give, and God's going to cause men to give into your bosom. And guess what? Instead of just that little bit, they're going to press that down, push it down. They're going to shake it where it settles, and then they'll be put more fruit in there, and it'll be running over. It'll be running over. That's how I want to receive from God. Amen. Press down, shaking together, and running over. Press down, shaking together, and running over. So that's how I want to receive back from God. Amen. And God always gives seed to the sower, doesn't he? He always gives seed to the sower. We need to give on every way, every opportunity we need to give. Why? Because we need the grace of God to come back to us in many ways. Now guess what? God gives back to us not just in finances, but he gives it back in what? Good health, peace of mind, the ability to be able to take a breath so we can live. He just, truth be told, there's a lot of people that woke up today and then they didn't see another day because they couldn't take another breath. But God didn't give us ability to wake up in our sound mind and a peace of mind. Guess what? All that stuff means nothing. All that stuff means nothing. Prosperity is to somebody that's sick? Being well, made whole in their body, physically, mentally. That's what prosperity is. It's prosperity. Prosperity is in five different areas. Mentally, physically, spiritually, financially, and socially. If you lack wholeness in any one of those areas, guess what? You're impoverished in that area, aren't you? But see, God wants you made whole in five different areas. Five different areas. Bible says that he who has friends must show himself what? Friendly. If I'm Oscar the Grouch on Sesame Street all the time, does anybody want to be around me? No. They see me coming and they cross the street and go that way. But to have friends, you must show yourself friendly. You must show love to people that don't deserve it, undeserving, unkind. You know, people that just want to mess up your day, but you got to still love them with the love of God. So the thing is, we got to be freely give. And so God will cause men to give into our bosom when we do that. Now, I'll say this. I've seen this happen. What you cause to happen for other people, God will cause to happen to you. There's a guy by the name of Supreme. And Carrie, you know Supreme, right? Supreme was a rapper. And in fact, his stage name was Supreme. And his real name is Chris Hunter. But he was a rapper and everything. But he met Junior and he said, well, it's my time may not be here yet or whatever. I've tried it and everything, but I see something in this young man. And I want to support him. I want to support him what he's doing because I see the anointing on him. I see his zeal. I see his passion for what he's doing. So guess what? Every time Junior's in the D.C. area, he will change his schedule to make sure he can be a blessing to Mari. And he's like his armor bearer. And a lot of people think he's his bodyguard. He'd be standing up there like that. But he knows something that a lot of men don't know. He knows something that a lot of Christians don't know. When you cause something that happens to somebody else that you want in your life, God will cause it to happen to you. When you honor another man, God will cause honor to come to you. Praise God, isn't that something? You see, a steward must show himself faithful. When you're faithful with another man's stuff, God will cause the stuff to come to you. But see, Supreme, he understands that. He understands that principle. I caught that. I said, this guy knows something that other Christians don't know. When we were in Stella's in Las Vegas, and Junior or his manager, Tario, would say, hey, Pop, I need this, I need that. And we were in the background, we tried to take care of it, right? But soon as Supreme showed up, and he heard something, he said, "Pop, I got that, I got that." And he wouldn't let me do nothing. He wouldn't let me do nothing. But he jumped on, and he wanted to, and his wife, Alonda, caught the principal. You know why? Because she was in agreement with him. She came up there with, she was in agreement with him. It could have been a vacation for her and Supreme to, you know, get to know each other and everything. But no, she understood the real reason why he was there, to support Junior, and she was in full agreement with it. So I say, wow, this couple knows something that other couples don't know. And wow, and I saw that. I saw that. I mean, he didn't say nothing, but I watched what he did. I watched what he did. When Junior said, "Well, so and so and so, Dad, I need you," I said, "I'm on it." And he got one. They say, "Pop, I got that." Boom. But I noticed that. You noticed that, didn't you, Kara? You know, he wouldn't let me do anything. He honored me just because I was Junior's father. He say, "Well, I guess he figured that the apple don't fall too far from the tree." So, but anyway, the thing is, you found out there that when you give into another person's life, God will cause that the blessing to come back to you. So guess what? He got a harvest. God has to give him a harvest, a good harvest, because he planted in the good seed. He planted a good soil in Junior's life. Indeed, you've done it to a degree too, haven't you? When you were in college and stuff, you used to help Junior stuff when he went to events and stuff like that. So what, you sowing into good seed, and you're still doing it. Sowing into good soil. So God, you have a harvest that's coming. And so like, that's why we should be able to want to give on every opportunity to give, because we know we're going to need the grace of God, what, once a year? Once a month. Every day. All right, I like that, daughter-in-law. Every day. Every day. So that's why every opportunity that we have to give, we need of our time, our money, our abilities, our love, we need to be willing to give. Amen? Because God, you know what God says? I like this. The banks will give you, when you have like a $10,000 in a bank, the banks will give you 1% interest. Hallelujah. No, that ain't no money. But God gives what? 30, 60, 100-fold. Can you imagine what a fold is? It ain't a percent. A fold is like multiplied that often, you know, that much. It multiplied by 30 times, you know. And so I'd rather give to God. And guess what? God says when you lend to the poor, you lend to me. You want to be blessed? Well, go down and give something to the homeless man or woman in the street. And nobody sees you but God. And guess what? When God, you do it in secret, God will reward you openly. Why are you getting blessed all the time? Why are you looking fresh all the time? Because he give to people, and nobody knows except for him. Nobody knows except for him and God. His left hand don't even know it. He gives to the right hand, his left hand don't even know. Because he got the principle, right? Okay, we talked about number one, give according to our ability, right? Number two, give out of a lot of fanfare. And then number three, give freely. And the fourth principle of scripture giving is give with simplicity. Give with simplicity. Now, what does give with simplicity mean? Well, it means freedom from pretense or guile, or restraint and ornamentation, or innocence. You give like you give innocently. You give as you purpose in your heart. You don't have a lot of fanfare. You don't make a big to-do about it. You just give with simplicity, whatever God is, and then also without embellishment. Now, you know what? I wouldn't have said that, but it's in the Bible. Guess what? Acts, the fifth chapter. If you could turn that. Acts the fifth chapter. There was a couple by the name of Ananias and Sapphira. And they said that, they went on and they had this land and they were gonna sell it. And supposedly they told the church that we're gonna sell and give you all the proceeds to the church. But then they made a covenant with themselves. Well, we're gonna sell it, but we're not gonna give it all to the church. We're gonna keep a part to ourselves. But yet the announcement in church was we gave it all to the church. But guess what? It was a lie. It was embellishment. They didn't get what's embellished. They gave what embellishment. It was a lie. And so what happened was, let's go to Acts and read it from the Acts, the first verse in Acts, the fifth chapter. And that's it. So you want to read? Praise God. So what happened was this is the early beginning of the church, and Peter said, you didn't lie to man, you lied to the Holy Ghost. You lied to God. So both of them were graveyard dead because they lied to God. And they could have said, well, we're going to keep part of it, we're going to give half of it to the church or a percentage or something like that, but they didn't. They just lied. They lied. They didn't give with simplicity. They gave with embellishment. And we're getting close to our time, so we're going to go ahead and close with this last scripture. Now, we're going to be talking about give regularly every week and give cheerfully. And then we're going to be talking about tithes and offerings. A lot of times people say that tithes are just for the Old Testament. But I'm going to show you that there's scriptures in the Old Testament and also scriptures in the New Testament that said tithing didn't die with the apostles. You know, it didn't die with the Old Testament. But tithing is relevant here for us today. So we're going to go over some scriptures there and explain that. But also we're going to be talking about how should we give. We should give regularly and we should give every week. And then also we need to give cheerfully. Because guess what? Would you want somebody to give you a gift and you know it's not in the heart to really give it? But yet, I mean, it means nothing. You know they don't really want to give. They just give because everybody else gave me a gift and they don't want to be seen like they're stingy. But that is not in their heart to give. You don't want that. God don't want it either. If you don't want it, if it's not in your heart to give it to God, you think God wants that? No. God don't need our talents, our abilities, or anything, because He gave them all to us anyway. So why does God need it? And He don't need our stuff. He wants our heart. If I don't have your heart, I don't want nothing at all. If I can't have your heart, I don't want nothing at all. Nothing really matters. Nothing really matters. If I can't have your heart, I don't want nothing at all. So God does not want us to give unless we give cheerfully with a glad heart. Hilarious. Cheerful means a hilarious giver. Hilarious. Ha, ha, ha. Laugh out loud. That's what hilarious means. God loves, wants a cheerful, hilarious giver. So we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about that next Sunday. But we're gonna. This is gonna be our last script. We're gonna close with this. Romans 12:8. Remember, we talk about we're supposed to give with simplicity, not with embellishment, not with just a fanfare, not with just a lot of just open display or something like that. But we're supposed to give it with simplicity. Give with simplicity. And this is the scripture verse of Romans 12:8. And while we're that, I'm going to get a little ahead while you click turn on that. Cheerful means to make happy or glad or to utter a shout of applause or triumph. So that's what cheerful means. Okay, you have that, Dave? Oh, the scriptures are Romans 12 and 8. Romans 12 and 8. Okay. We're talking about freedom from pretense or guile, or restraining and ornamentation, or innocence. You give an innocence. In other words, you restrain and ornamentation. In other words, you don't make a big to-do about that you gave somebody. Well, you know, the Lord blessed me. I gave $5 to this homeless man standing on the bridge last Sunday. Hallelujah. Yeah, but you know, but now you done tooted your own horn, so guess what? The blessing that you were gonna get, guess what? You got that from man. It's not from God. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Oh, is that Romans 12 and 8? Romans 12 and 8? Yeah, Romans 12 and 8. Romans 12 chapter and 8 verse. Yeah, that was good though. That was good. You live to the flesh, you'll die. Yeah, that was good. Mm-hmm. 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 Okay, so if we give, we want to do it cheerfully. We do it as merciful. And also in our giving, we give with simplicity. We give with simplicity. So we don't make a big announcement that we're going to give or anything like that. That negates even the return on it. Because a return is going to come from men, we saw. So we're going to get, next week we're going to finish on this. We're going to get into giving regularly, giving cheerfully. Just give me a little bit of advertisement of what's going to happen next week. And then also we're going to go into the tithe. And find out what the tithe actually is. Most people know tithe means tenth, right? And we're going to go into what the tithe is. But the tithe didn't die with the Old Testament, okay? The tithe didn't die with the Old Testament. And we're going to give some Old Testament scriptures, and we're going to give some New Testament scriptures. Also, we're going to talk about how do you redeem the tithe. Did you know if you took your tithe money, which is the tenth, and then you have your car payment coming up, and you say, man, Lord, I know I gotta give my tithe, this month, but the thing is, I went to Tallahassee and lived it up. And so now I ain't got no tithe money left. So Lord, you know I'm good for it. So guess what? Well, guess what? I had some tithe money, but, I flew Adrian and Curtis to Boston. So now that's my tithe money. I ain't got the tithe money. You know, I gave it to my children so they can go home. You know, but guess what? God ain't interested in all that. You know what God said? He said, I know you's going to be some days like that. I'm going to make a way out. Because he said the tithe is holy unto the Lord. So guess what? God left us a way out. Guess what? He's going to tell us how we can redeem the tithe. And I'm going to show you the scripture that shows you how to do it. You can redeem the tithe. So guess what? You went to Tallahassee and had a good time, but guess what? God's gonna give you a way out so you can redeem yourself. I sent Adrian and Curtis back to Boston. Didn't pay my tithe, but guess what? God's gonna show me a way to redeem myself. So we're gonna find out about that next Sunday. Isn't God good? Amen. So that's it for this Sunday, because like I said, we're about out of time. Want to be mindful of that. But what we're going to do is,